Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, June 25th, 2023, Romans.
All right, before we get started, happy birthday to Dodie, and you get a flag and flowers. That's pretty good, right? By the way, to let you know, next week we will have Bible class the first hour, followed by communion, followed by a movie. It's a great movie. So Bible class next Sunday, followed by communion, followed by a movie. That's July 2nd. And just to let you know, if you didn't, some of you can't read, or you don't look to read. After class on Sunday, there will be class Monday. Tuesday is the 4th of July. There will be no class on Tuesday, the 4th of July, and then Wednesday and Thursday. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. All right? But it's out there posted, so you can go out and read it again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. This is the great chapter in the Word of God that teaches the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 6. This is the greatest chapter in all of the New Testament scriptures that teaches the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. Identification with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. This is one of the most important doctrines for the church age believer to know and understand. This is totally unique to the church age, the dispensation we live in, which began at Pentecost and concludes with the rapture. This explains the uniqueness of the time in which we live. We live in the church age. We are royal family of God, not family of God. In the Old Testament, the believers who placed their faith in Christ were family of God. We are royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. We have been entered into union with Jesus Christ, who is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We have been indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, universal indwelling of the Spirit. That never occurred in Old Testament times. Moses was never indwelt with the Spirit. Abraham was never indwelt with the Spirit. David was never indwelt with the Spirit. We are all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life. And this is the only dispensation of the unique spiritual life. It was first lived by Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union and then passed on to us in this dispensation, the church age. It's absolutely critical for the believer, church age believer, to understand all the significance of the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Identify with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and identify with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. This is the key for you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to walk in newness of life, and to glorify God to the maximum. So this is a phenomenal chapter, and we're going to learn a lot about the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Romans 6 so far, let's look at verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Verse 2. Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live in it or by the power of the sin nature any longer? At the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, positionally the power of the sin nature has been broken through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's retroactive positional truth. And therefore, positionally, the old sin nature is dead. The old sin nature still resides in the body of the church age believer after salvation, but its rulership over human life has been broken by the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth. The old sin nature is not eradicated. We still have it. It's still in our body. But its rulership, it won't be eradicated until either physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. As long as you live, you will have the sin nature residing in the members of your body with its lust patterns. While the sin nature still resides in our body, it has been robbed of its power to rule our lives. A new power, the power of God the Holy Spirit, has replaced the power of the sin nature, so that now we have an option. We can choose to put the sin nature back in charge of our lives, or we can live our lives by the power of the Spirit of God, fulfilling the mandate, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Fulfilling the mandate, Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So after salvation, you now have two power sources in your body. And they are at war with each other. You have the sin nature in the members of your body, and you have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in your body. And we saw this near the end last time. Let's start out with Galatians 5. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, walk. The word is peripateo, which literally means to walk. It refers to living your life. So I say, walk or live your life by the Spirit, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So here we are. We have the sin nature in the members of our body. We have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, and they are at war with each other as to who is going to control your life and be the one in charge. Your volition decides who is going to rule your life. The old sin nature constantly sends up temptations. Temptations to the guardian of your soul. We all have a guardian in our soul. And that guardian is our volition. Here's your soul. Here's your body. And we have in our body the sin nature, and the sin nature sends up temptations, 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 temptations. And they come up to the guardian of your soul, which is your volition. You have a free will. You have a volition. All you have to do when these temptations come is to say no. One of the greatest words in the vocabulary, English vocabulary, no. So when these temptations come, you say no, then you continue to be filled with the Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is empowering your life to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So you have a guardian. Your volition decides who is going to rule your life. The old sin nature constantly sends up temptations to the guardian of your soul, your volition. But all you have to do is say no. And then God the Holy Spirit continues to empower your life so that you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. However, if the temptations come up to the guardian of your soul, your volition, and you say yes to the temptation, then you turn your life over to the power of the sin nature. Now, instead of being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, instead of walking by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, now you are grieving the Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and you are quenching the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Now that brings us to verse 3. And in verse 3 we have one of the greatest dangers of the church age believer, and that danger is to be ignorant of truth in the Word of God. And it's sad to say, in the time in which we live in America, we're living in great apostasy and degeneracy. And many, many believers are ignorant about what the Word of God says. They don't know the truth of God's Word. They don't understand the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. They don't understand the uniqueness of the church age or the spiritual life. And as a result of that, they become a casualty in the angelic conflict. So verse 3, as far as we exegeted last time, or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, and that is the baptism of the Spirit, and all the way through Romans chapter 6, we're going to have the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. And when we get partway through this, we got several other verses. Well, we'll take that doctrine in detail and study it in detail. So it starts out in Romans 6:3, the verb, are you ignorant, or don't you know? This is the Greek word agnoeo. A-G-N-O-E, long O, agnoeo. And agnoeo is a compound word made up of the alpha privative. That means no or not. And noeo, to know. So, literally, this agnoeo says not to know. Agnoeo means to be ignorant. Many of these believers that the Apostle Paul is writing to are ignorant of the Word of God. They're ignorant of the truth in God's Word. And specifically, they're ignorant of the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Ignorance of Bible doctrine is the most serious problem in Christianity today, and one of the most important doctrines for the church age believer to understand is the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. The problem in America is that most believers are ignorant of God's Word. A lot of these believers Paul is writing to have wrong priorities. Everything and anything is more important than God or the teaching of the Word of God. So Paul is giving them a challenge. He's challenging them. You need to make the Word of God number one priority in your life. You need to get your priorities straight. You need to be consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible doctrine teaching church and learning and believing the Word of God. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God solves the problem of ignorance. And specifically in our chapter, they are ignorant of this great doctrine, the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. And then we go on now in the exegesis, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. This is the conjunction hati with the correlative hosas, plus the aorist passive indicative of baptizo, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative of Christos Jesus. Now, after verbs of dicendi, you've heard me say this many times, hati oftentimes is a causal conjunction translated because. But after verbs of dicendi, that is verbs of knowing, or in this case, agnoeo, which is not knowing, then hati introduces an object clause and is correctly translated that. So we'll translate it that. And then we have the correlative hosas. H-O-S-O-S, hosas. This is a correlative that can mean as great or how great. It can mean as far or how far. It can mean as long or how long. It can mean as much or how much. When it's used of quality or quantity or number, it can be how much or how many or as much as or as many as. But when it's used as an absolute, as it is in our verse, then it's correctly translated all those who, or all of us who, And that's how it will be translated. All of us who... And then we have the word baptizo. That's B-A-P-T-I-Z long O. Baptizo. All right, a couple of things you need to know about this word. Baptizo. One, it's been transliterated. And that doesn't tell us anything. It's been transliterated to baptize. But that doesn't tell you what the word means. So it's been transliterated, but not translated. Two, in classical Greek, baptize meant to identify one thing with another thing. To identify one thing with another thing, so that the characteristic of the original thing was changed into another characteristic by what it was identified with. So in classical Greek, baptize meant to identify one thing with another thing so that the characteristic of the original thing was changed into another characteristic by what was identified with it. Three. Therefore, baptism means identification. It means identification or association. Identification or association. Four. There are two categories of baptism or identification in the God-breathed scriptures. Two categories of baptism or identification in the Word of God. First of all, an actual identification, and that is called a real baptism. An actual identification, which is a real baptism, and secondly, a representative identification, which is called a ritual baptism. And ritual baptism use water. Real baptisms, no water. So there are two categories of baptism in or identification in the Word of God. An actual identification, which is called real baptism, a representative identification, which is called ritual baptism, and that uses water. Five. There are four real baptisms in the Bible. Four real baptisms in the Bible, meaning there is an actual identification with something that has significance. Four real baptisms in the Bible, meaning there is an actual identification with something that has significance. So let's take a look at these four real baptisms. Real baptism number one is the baptism of Moses. The baptism of Moses. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant. Here we have the same agnoeo. I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud. Now, the cloud is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. And the cloud and the fire, the Lord Jesus Christ led the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. So the cloud is the Lord Jesus Christ by theophany. That our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea, the Red Sea, dry shod. They were all baptized into Moses. In the cloud, identification with Jesus Christ, and in the sea. Now this is a real identification in which Moses was identified with the cloud, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the open path through the Red Sea, and the Jews were identified with Moses. And that is the principle of blessing by association with a spiritually mature believer. The nation Israel was blessed by association with spiritually mature believer Moses. So here we have a real identification in which Moses was identified with the cloud, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the open path through the Red Sea, and the Jews were identified with Moses, blessing by association with the spiritually mature believer. Now water was not involved. The only fact that water was involved was when the Egyptian army tried to follow them, and then they were baptized. They all died. So water was not involved here. Unbelievers were immersed in the water. The Egyptian unbelievers were immersed in the water as a means of death. So Moses was identified with the cloud, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jews were identified with Moses. Blessing by association. That's the first real baptism, the baptism of Moses. Real baptism number two, the baptism of the cross. The baptism of the cross. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, and the Lord says in verse 50, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with," literally, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished." This, in his true humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ was anticipating going to the cross. And while he was on the cross, he was anticipating being imputed with the sins of the whole world and then being judged for those sins. And that is what he is anticipating. That's the baptism here, the baptism of the cross. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Let's start at verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, I like a new house and a boat." No, it doesn't say that. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." And then Jesus Christ says in verse 38, "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink?" And what is the cup that Jesus Christ is going to have to drink? The cup of the sins of the whole world. He has to go to the cross. He's the only Savior. When he's on the cross, He will drink the cup of the sins of the whole world and the judgment for those sins. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And that is the baptism of the cross. This baptism is our Lord Jesus Christ being identified with the sins of the whole world. This refers to the judicial imputation of the world's sins to Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ was identified with our personal sins, and then he was judged for them so that Christ becomes our Savior. As sinners, none of those to whom Christ spoke were qualified to be baptized with the world's sins on the cross. So this is the baptism of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ being identified with the sins of the whole world, and then the judgment for those sins in him. That's real baptism number two. Real baptism number three, the baptism of the Spirit. And that's what Romans chapter 6 is teaching about, and we are just getting into it, and we will be studying this doctrine in detail when we get further on into Romans chapter 6. So I'm just going to bypass this one right now. We will pull it all together later on in this chapter. But real baptism number 3 is the baptism of the Spirit, where at salvation, at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and identifies you with the death and burial of Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, and he identifies you with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're now in union with him, in union with Christ as royal family of God. So we will take a look at the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive and current positional truth. We are identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That is coming. We'll study it in more detail. Real baptism number 4. Real baptism number 4, the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire. And this is the baptism identified with every unbeliever in human history. For all of those members of the human race who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they will be identified with fire forever and ever and ever. Turn over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, verse 11. And John, and some people call him John the Baptist. He wasn't Baptist. I like to call him John the Voice. He happened to be one who was baptizing people, and we'll look at that when we get to ritual baptism. But he starts out in verse 11, I baptize you with water. See, ritual baptism always has water associated with it. I, John the Voice, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. And he will baptize you, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, this is not the church age right now, but when the church age begins at Pentecost, now all church age saints are baptized with the Spirit, identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. He will baptize you when the church age begins at Pentecost and with fire. So baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that's believers having the baptism of the Spirit. And then, and with fire, that's unbelievers identified with fire forever and ever and ever. This is repeated in Luke 3, verse 16. The baptism of fire is the real identification of all unbelievers, unbelieving Jews and unbelieving Gentiles, at the end of the tribulation with fire. And that fire, their fire in Hades, they start out with fire in Hades. The unbeliever is identified with fire forever and ever. The tribulational unbeliever is also identified with the defeat of Satan. All unbelievers are removed from the earth for the start of the millennial kingdom, and they are placed in fire, the fire of Hades, for 1,000 years until the last judgment. And at the last judgment, they are then placed in the lake of fire forever and ever. This is the baptism of fire, the real identification of all unbelievers of human history, all of those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they will be identified with, first of all, fire in Hades, and then, after the last judgment, fire, identify with the lake of fire forever. Those are the four real baptisms. Now, point six, there are three ritual baptisms. Three ritual baptisms. And they are representative identifications in which water serves as a training aid. A training aid to represent some principle of the Word of God. So the ritual baptisms are representative identifications in which water is used as a training aid to represent some principle of doctrine. Water represents something else in a ritual baptism. The person going into the water must have knowledge of the meaning of this ritual. So, ritual baptism number one, the baptism of John. Ritual baptism number one, the baptism of John. Turn over to Matthew 3. Oh, we're at Matthew 3. You got to keep me on my toes here. You know that. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days, John, and I call him the voice, John who happened to be one who baptized. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Turn over to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's start at verse 24. Now some Pharisees, and these were the religious leaders in the time of Jesus, who had been sent, questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John replied, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, They are the religious leaders of Israel, but they're not saved. They don't believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the only Savior. And this one that you do not know, he is the one who comes after me. And the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" He will baptize with the Holy Spirit when the church age begins at Pentecost. We're living in the church age from Pentecost to the rapture. "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." So when he says there at the end, he who will baptize with the Spirit, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's Romans chapter 6. That is one of the most important doctrines you can understand in this dispensation. So John lived in the age of Israel, not in the church age. And the water represented the kingdom of God. There had to be a ceremony never used before to identify a person with the kingdom of God, because the king was still present. The water represented the kingdom of God. Putting a person in the water showed that he was identified with the Messiah and with the kingdom. In the water, the person testified to his belief that the Messiah would go to the cross and would die for his sins, and recognizing that because he accepted Christ as Savior before he went to the cross and accepted him as king, he was saved and identified with the kingdom of God forever. And that is the baptism of John. Ritual baptism number 2, the baptism of Jesus Christ. Ritual baptism number 2, the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we'll have to start there after we take a break and come back for part 2. So we'll see you in a few for part 2.